Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is from our gospel lesson, Mark chapter 6. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. As we read through the gospel accounts, and especially the gospel of Mark, there are times when we want to just shake our heads in disbelief about the disciples. And today is one of those times. We were not with the disciples as they traveled with Jesus, so it's hard to know what they were going through as they heard the things that Jesus said and taught and saw the things that he did. But what is recorded in Scripture is sometimes not all that flattering when it comes to reporting about those disciples. In today's reading, the disciples didn't seem to recognize that it was Jesus walking on the water. They thought it was a ghost and were terrified. We might think that they would have a memory loss. As we look at the Gospel of Mark, it wasn't many chapters before this. In chapter 4, which couldn't have been that many weeks before the account that we have today, that Jesus was sleeping soundly on a cushion in a boat as the great storm arose. Awakened by the terrified disciples, Jesus rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. So how could they have forgotten something as important and as powerful as that example? And today, Jesus climbs into the boat with them, calms the wave, and the disciples are utterly astounded. And then Mark adds, because they had not understood about the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And that account was immediately prior to today's lesson. This was last week's gospel lesson. So didn't they remember what Jesus had taught and done then? What was the matter with those disciples anyway? And then Mark goes and tells us that their hearts were hardened. Now that's a bit concerning. Hardened hearts? Does that imply that they were not believing? We hear that about Pharaoh back in the Old Testament, that his heart was hardened. You know, sometimes I think we think things that are so obvious to us because we know the end of the story. We know how everything ends. But the disciples, they were in the middle of things and only could go by what they thought they knew and by what they were seeing and hearing. And they often didn't get it. And often their words and their reactions were no different than unbelievers, those who rejected Jesus as the Messiah, the very Son of God. But Jesus knew all this, didn't he? He was patient with them and continued to teach them with his words and with the miracles such as the feeding of the 5,000 and walking on the water at night. He knew that these disciples eventually would get it after the resurrection, after the ascension, after the day of Pentecost, as the Holy Spirit would visit them in a great way. So So before we dismiss the disciples as a bunch of fools, we need to put ourselves in their sandals for just a minute. Or better yet, we might just take a good look at ourselves for our responses to similar life situations that they were going through. And we might find that their response pretty much is like our response. For yet, we fail sometimes to see Jesus or understand him fully. We often fail to realize what knowing Jesus means for our daily lives. In today's text, we see the disciples laboring against a strong wind. Although the picture in our mind might put the disciples rowing a boat, not necessarily. They could have been a sailboat, but still, they were making painful headway. It was hard work. They were being literally tortured by the work. They were being harassed by the wind. It was late. They were tired. And they may have also been afraid that we might not make it. They were getting nowhere fast. But Jesus got into the boat, and the wind ceased. They were astounded. Jesus walking on the water, and the wind ceasing. Mark goes on to talk about when they arrived at the other side. There they encountered another group of people. His fame had preceded them. And when they recognized it was Jesus who it was, they frantically gathered all the sick and the lame from that region. Wherever he went, he healed those who were brought to him, even if they were only able to do was to grab hold of the fringe of his garment. For Jesus' disciples and for these people, there was only one thing that could help them help as they experienced the pains and terrors of this mortal life, and that was the presence of Jesus. What is the cause of our pains, our sorrows, our terrors that we encountered in this life? If we look at our life as a whole, most of us would probably agree that they're filled with many blessings from God. We have family and friends to share our lives. We are blessed with jobs and opportunities to use our gifts in service to our neighbor. We have a place to live and food to eat, and many other what we would call first article gifts from God, our Creator. We may even get to the point in life where it feels like we're riding on the wave of God's blessings and we can simply sit back and enjoy all that God provides. But there are winds. There are moments when the wind picks up. It might be a strain in our relationship with someone, a friend, a family member, and it ends up being a hostile relationship. Our job might become a burden, or it might disappear. Home ownership might overwhelm us with all the responsibilities and tasks that go along with it. There might be threats to our own health or the health of a loved one that puts life on hold. Like the disciples struggling out there on the sea, We struggle because we are tired and alone. Now, as people of God, our faith knows where we can turn to for help in these times. But as sinful people, we often don't do it. We tell ourselves that painful headway is still headway. We tell ourselves we can do it ourselves. And even if Jesus factors into the equation, we often see him, as the disciples did, like a ghost. He's not really there. We do these kinds of things so often that we begin to think this is just how things are. This is how things work. When things start to fall apart, when struggles overwhelm us, when suffering enters our lives, we have a tendency to close up, to do it ourselves, isolate ourselves, and we end up alone in our misery. Now, as people of God, we should know that this is not the way we were intended to be. We were never intended to be alone in times of misery and pain and struggle. We know where we can turn to and to whom we can turn to for divine help. Yet our lives look a little bit different than that, don't they? Someone outside might look at our lives and think, and may and hopefully say to us, how can you not get it? How can you not see where your help is? Why haven't you learned that Jesus is always with you? It was the presence of Jesus that calmed the wind and the waves. It was the presence of Jesus that brought healing to the sick. And it is the presence of Jesus that comforts us and connects us to his help and healing. Scripture proclaims that Jesus is more than just a wise teacher. His miracles show that he is truly the Son of God. The Son of God who has power and authority over even the wind and the waves. He is more than a God who is out there somewhere. He is a God who has come in the flesh. God in the flesh to suffer, to die for the sin of all mankind. To die on the cross, to earn everlasting life and salvation for all those who believe in him. This same Jesus spoke to you at your baptism and promised never to leave you or forsake you. He continues to make his presence known as you receive his forgiving word of absolution. As you are reminded of the promises of God in the Word, and as you receive his very body and blood in the sacrament, in these holy mysteries, God is with you in his grace and his mercy. In all circumstances of life, he has promised to be with you. I am with you always. To the close of the age, he has borne the burden of your sin. He knows your pains and your sorrows. In his death and in his resurrection, he gives you the precious gift of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Take heart. Take courage. It is I. Stop being afraid. These are comforting words for you. For the struggles of life are sure to come your way. But as a child of God, you know from where your help comes. From Psalm 121, we hear these words. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. In the name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.